right. Thank you. Thank you, Kathy. That's a great privilege to be with you all this evening, to be appointed as your promoter in the province. And I'll talk more about this, but I do consider it a special act of providence of God that this came about. I didn't see it coming. I didn't see it coming, but once the provincial asked me, I thought, okay, that makes sense. I see where the Lord is going with this. And so it brings me great joy and excitement to be involved with you all. I do believe that the Lord is about a work of renewal in his church now. We see one sign of this in the Eucharistic revival that's just begun by our bishops a few weeks ago. A Eucharistic revival with the call back to the faith, back to the practice of Sunday Mass, to the masses of Catholic out there who have stopped going to Mass, and just a new appreciation of the great gift we have in the Eucharist. And when the Lord is about a work of renewal, he normally starts with a smaller group, and then it spreads out, right? We think about the Lord Jesus himself. He first gathers 12 around him, 12 disciples. Then there's a little larger group, the 72. And so there's a focus on a smaller group, and then it's going to spread out to everyone. So I think in our own age, one of those smaller groups that the Lord is doing a special work that will have ripple effects in the coming years are the lay Dominicans, are you all, and the beautiful things that are already happening in your fraternities. And the Lord's going to continue to do that and push it further for the renewal of the church. And I think as Dominicans, we have a special place in this. St. Dominic and St. Catherine leading the way for us. I think we have something that the world really needs today. And that's anointed proclaimers of the gospel. People full of the Holy Spirit, bearing witness to the Lord Jesus and the love of the Father. Caught up in God, caught up in his love, and overflowing with that to others, to the world. We read of St. Dominic from Jordan of Saxony's Libellus. Everywhere in word and deed, he showed himself to be a man of the gospel. Vir evangelicus, a man of the gospel. And I believe that that's the call in our lives too, to be men and women of the gospel. Not just playing around with the gospel when we have free time, not just as a side pursuit, but to be taken up in that, a woman of the gospel, a man of the gospel. And to have that touch everything we do, to always be speaking to God or about God, as it was said of St. Dominic. That's what made him a man of the gospel. And when we think about being men and women of the gospel, does that mean just keeping a list of rules? No. Does it mean just imitating the Lord Jesus? No, it means that as well, but it's not simply that. What we find in the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. It's not just moralism. It's not just doing our best. The gospel is about life in Christ. Communion with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit being drawn up into their own life, especially through the sacraments, through the proclamation of the word of God, and living that out. So it's about God filling us up with his life, with his love, with his grace, that we might be transformed. That's what it means to be a man of the gospel, a woman of the gospel. And St. Dominic was one of those. So it's not just our human efforts, though that's involved. It's about opening ourselves to the grace and the work of God, to the work of the Holy Spirit, to the life of Jesus Christ in our lives, and giving ourselves over to that transformation, the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. So there's something special about people who are anointed with this gospel. They stand out. There's something about them we just can't quite put our finger on, that the world can't quite understand. The special thing about these bearers of the gospel, these men and women of the gospel, is that they are full of God. Not just speaking about God, but being filled with God himself, his life, his influence, and letting that radiate out Think about the saints of our day, Mother Teresa of Calcutta. People were attracted to her, not just because of her message, not just because of the great things she was doing, but there was something about her. She bore God, and people knew that. They had that sense that she bore that fragrance of God. So it was said of St. Dominic, and this is again from Jordan, Saxony. At once among the canons, he began to shine as a special star. His humble heart and extraordinary holiness made him an odor of life unto life among them, and as a sweet smelling frankincense in the summertime. So St. Dominic bore the scent of God. He bore the scent of heaven. The fragrance of Christ exuded from him like a flower opening up in the summertime. How did that happen? Well, because he was a man rooted in prayer. He was a man rooted in the word of God. He was a man rooted in the sacraments, receiving the grace of God and all God had to pour out upon him. And so he exuded that fragrance of God in his life. A sweet smelling frankincense in the summertime. So St. Dominic then shows us the way forward as his sons and daughters to be men and women rooted in prayer. I remember that's one of the things that first drew me to the Dominican order and St. Dominic, him spending his nights in prayer, seeking the face of the Lord, crying out to the Lord for poor sinners, a man of prayer and a man of the word and preaching is what drew me to St. Dominic. So we want to be more and more like St. Dominic and the Dominican saints, men and women of prayer. That's how we can be true men and women of the gospel, transformed by God, bearing his presence, bearing his scent. So just one more thought on this, as I bring this to a portion of conclusion. We read in the nine ways of prayer, in the fourth way of prayer, we read this about St. Dominic. And this, I think, is part of his secret. How did Dominic become who God made him be? How did he become this man of the gospel, radiant with the image of Christ, exuding the scent of God? How did he do that? Well, let's listen in on this. The fourth way of prayer, we read, sometimes Dominic spoke in his heart, and his voice was not heard at all. And he would remain quietly on his knees, his mind caught up in wonder. And this sometimes lasted a long time. Sometimes it seemed from the very way he looked that he had penetrated heaven. And then he would suddenly appear radiant with joy, wiping away the abundant tears running down his face. He was in a stage of intense longing and anticipation, like a thirsty man coming to a spring of water, or a traveler at last approaching his homeland. So let's ask God the Father for a double portion of this spirit of our Holy Father, St. Dominic, that we too might be caught up in God in prayer, our hearts wrapped in God, drawn out of ourselves to behold God, to contemplate his face, to be filled with him, and then to bring his joy, peace, and life to those around. So my journey with, so now transitioning to my own kind of personal story and an introduction, my journey with St. Dominic began in 2004 when I entered the novitiate, St. Gertrude's in Cincinnati, Ohio. I had just graduated from college a year earlier from the University of Dayton in Ohio with a mechanical engineering degree. And so I joined in 2004. And already as a novice, so this is part of my story, already, and part of kind of what I have to offer, I think. Many things I don't have to offer, but some things I do have to offer come out in the story. Already as a Dominican novice, I felt a sense of a call to the Carthusians. As you know, they're one of the more austere monastic orders in the Catholic Church. And so this draw to deeper prayer was there from the beginning in my life as a Dominican. And kind of the advice given to me was, well, stay with us and you can check this monastic call out later. So then my whole formation was kind of stamped by that. I poured myself into Dominican life, but I always made sure prayer was a priority. Not simply praying as much as we're called to, but more. Spending time with the Lord, hours with the Lord in prayer. That's what St. Dominic did. That's what I wanted to do, to be a man of prayer like St. Dominic. And so the sense of a call to deeper prayer really marked my whole formation, my whole Dominican life from the beginning. And it remains that way. Please God, it will continue to remain that way too. So to fast forward some, I was ordained a priest then, Dominican priest, 2011, May 27th, 2011. Certainly the best day of my life. Greatest grace I've ever received to be a priest of the Lord Jesus Christ. To be a Dominican priest of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then right after I was ordained, I made a visit to the Charter House, 3-month retreat. Things look good. The provincial said, well, before you go back there, at least put in a year of service in the province, then you can go back. So I spent my first year as a Dominican priest at St. Catherine of Siena Priory, New York City.
Oh, wow.
Yep. And so that's actually where I am right now as well. So I'll get back to that in a moment. But so spent a year here in New York City serving the sick, especially at Memorial Sloan Kettering, cancer hospital across the street here, but also doing some parish ministry here. So then went back to the Carthusian, spent 6 years there. And then, so I was a transitus during that time. And just about 6 months before that transition was going to be made complete, I returned to the Dominicans. Basically, the year leading up to that, there was a strong sense of a call from God to not only pray, but to help others people pray and enter more deeply into the spiritual life and in the mystical life. So I really sensed in the Charter House, we would have a long night office. I'd come back to cell, and those would be some key times of prayer in the middle of the night in the silence of the cell. And there were times where I felt a strong call that a big part of my future was going to be working with laity, helping them to grow in the spiritual life, in the mystical life. And so to not only to contemplate and then to hand on the fruits of our contemplation. So there were other factors in that. I mean, I have to keep this kind of brief. So I returned to the Dominicans 2019. And then coming back to the Dominicans, I finished an STL degree. Then I've been assigned to parishes here and there throughout the province. I was assigned to New Haven, Connecticut, most recently before this assignment at St. Mary's. And then from there, I got a surprise phone call about a year ago, hearing that the community here had elected me as prior. The provincial called, he told me that. I said, what? And he said, oh, I take it they never informed you. Or they never told you they were discussing you. And I said, no, they never did. And so that was a big surprise about a year ago. And so here I am. I've been here for a year. It's been great. And been doing, helping out with the parish ministry some, as well as the hospital ministry, but also doing a lot of formation work with some religious communities in the New York City area, the Sisters of Life, the Missionaries of Charity, Contemplative Branch, and some of our Dominican nuns in the area, North Guilford, Summit, the Bronx, Corpus Christi. So doing some work with them, giving conferences, preaching retreats a lot to monasteries as well. And then also this is something that years ago was placed on my heart, already in the Charter House as part of this mission to help the laity to grow in their life of prayer, was to have a monthly midday retreat with the mystics. So I've been doing that here too at St. Catherine's. So once a month on the third Saturday of the month, I focus in on a saint or a mystic, give an hour-long conference on that saint, then expose the Blessed Sacrament for 2 hours, and then do readings from that saint and guided meditations, long periods of silence, another reading, meditation on it, reflection on it, some more silence. So that's been going really well here in the city. We've, I think, worked through eight or nine people so far. In fact, if you wanted to kind of catch up on that, if you wanted to watch those videos, they were taped and you can find them on YouTube. I have a Dominican, there's a YouTube channel I contribute to, Dominican House of Prayer. So if you type that into YouTube, you can find all those videos and more, Dominican House of Prayer. You can check that out. So it's a collaboration between myself, another Dominican priest, and then two Dominican laity. So even before accepting this position, receiving it, I'm already collaborating with Dominican laity. So that's kind of a small kind of sign, a nice little beautiful sign. And so that's what I mean when I said, I feel this is very providential. When the provincial appointed me as promoter, the lay Dominicans, because it goes back to that sense of a call that I've had for a long time to help you all to grow in your spiritual lives so that you can be that witness, that God-drenched witness to Christ in our world today, to hand on not simply a message, but the power of the gospel, the living, the life of Christ in us, to help that nurture that in other people as well. So that's my hope, to continue that as promoter of the lay Dominicans. I have two ideas along those lines that I would like to share. I've shared them with Kathy. I've shared them with your provincial officers. I've shared them with the regional presidents and vice presidents. And I'm getting a lot of enthusiastic feedback. And so we'll have to, you know, work on this and see what it's going to look like. It's, you know, what I like to call a holy brainstorming at this point. But here are my two ideas. I'll probably have some more as the time goes on. Want to hear more about your ideas as well over these coming months. Idea number one is, so here's another thing. The past 2.5 years, I've been teaching online classes with Avila Institute. I do a lot of spiritual formation, classes on spirituality, spiritual theology. And more than once over these past 2.5 years, I've thought to myself, okay, I'm doing all these things with Avila Institute, and it helps out a lay movement called Apostolic VA, which is doing great. I said, but, you know, couldn't I be doing something like this for Dominicans? And in fact, I hear the Lord answer me and say, yes, you can do things like that with Dominican laity. And so again, being appointed as promoter, it's like, aha, here's a chance, here's an opportunity. So my thought is basically this, and we can tweak it, we can develop it, but we'll just start kind of small, is that one day a month, I will give a conference through Zoom. Basically, every lay Dominican in the province will get a Zoom link. You're free to join and watch it, but you don't have to. You know, total freedom. And it will be taped, and so you could always catch it later if you happen to miss it. But I would begin by going through the Dialogue of St. Catherine, maybe 20, 25 pages a month. And then I would just give like an hour conference on St. Catherine, her spiritual doctrine and what we can draw from it, what we can learn from it, how it can form us. And then, you know, maybe some time for Q&A. And of course, if individual lay fraternities wanted to like piggyback on that and say, okay, we're going to study those same 25 pages a month as a group and discuss them in our lay fraternity time as well, you would certainly be free to do that. But it's not going to be anything forced on you. You have, you know, your own kind of ideas as well. But that, you know, could be an option, or it could just be simply that, you know, a group of lay Dominicans just jump on this Zoom link and get you know, formed through St. Catherine of Siena. So that's an idea, and I'm excited about it. During my COVID lockdown, I've been working a lot on some conferences on St. Catherine. So I have about 7-hour-long conferences ready to go, more or less. And yeah, working through the dialogue, it'd be, you know, if you can read the 20, 25 pages beforehand, that's great. Read along. But even if you can't, you just join in. That's fine. So that's idea number one. Kind of more long term, I'm thinking maybe do a year on St. Catherine, then maybe a year on John Towler, the great lay Dominican from the 14th century. Or not lay, I'm sorry, he's the priest. But he had a great outreach to the laity as well, the Friends of God movement. So I take John Towler as a special patron in him being rooted in the contemplative life and helping others, nuns, but also laity to grow in the contemplative life. So we might work, we have about 75 of his sermons We could work through some of those the second year, maybe the third year, turn to St. Thomas Aquinas and draw forth the spiritual implications of his teaching. And then maybe year four, Blessed Henry Suso, work through some of his writings. Anyways, a basic sketch of kind of maybe more long-term, but basic idea now is Catherine of Siena dialogue and a monthly conference I'll give on her and a little discussion surrounding that. And that's the first idea. The second idea, and then after this, we can open it up to questions. Second idea I have is, you know, I'm sure that every parish out there has a list of Catholics who are on the parish register, but who no longer come to Mass. Right? That's kind of evident. And what if, as a way to kind of reach out to these Catholics and try to get them back to the Sunday Mass, is to have all these lay Dominicans, whose part of your mission is to evangelize, to preach the gospel. What if we did some training sessions through Zoom, training how you approach a phone call like that? Maybe we could even come up with a script for people who are a little more uncomfortable, how you at least start the conversation. But the idea would be if you give you a chance to bear witness to your love for the Eucharist. To maybe to work in consultation with pastors who could give a list of people you could call. And the idea would be not, the idea wouldn't be just one phone call. The idea would be like, hey, let's, you know, as many as you can to start up a relationship. You know, if a conversation goes well, oh, can I take you out for coffee? We can talk more. But then just to have an opportunity for you to bear witness to your love for Jesus and the Eucharist. And your theological formation as Dominicans would be so helpful here, and being able to explain, you know, give doctrine, teaching on the Eucharist, but then also to come with that personal warmth. This is what the Eucharistic, this is what the Eucharist means for me. And this is why I can't miss Sunday Mass. This is why I love going to Sunday Mass and daily Mass. This is why it's my lifeline. And to share your love for our Eucharistic Lord to other people. You know, I've heard the question a number of times talking to people, to you all, you know, how do we as lay Dominicans preach? Well, this would be one way that you could. And I think it is, you know, a little training could help, but I think more, you just need encourage to do that. You already have everything you need and just a little kind of push, boldness to make phone calls like this and to start conversations like this. And I do see a part as of the Eucharistic revival that we've just begun to try to draw fallen away Catholics back to Mass, help them to appreciate the treasure that we have in the Eucharist. And who better than lay Dominicans to help bring that about? And, you know, poor priests who have, you know, their hands full in the parish, it's hard for them to find time to make phone calls like that and try to initiate things like this individually with people who are away. And so that's where you all can be a great help. It'd be a great collaboration between Dominican friars and the Dominican laity. And then even other, you know, I know not every lay Dominican fraternity is connected to a Dominican parish. So even, you know, parishes where you are, diocesan priests are open to it. We could do the same thing there. And just as a little sign, witness value of what that this does make a difference. Here in New York City, I know a married couple, a lay couple, who go to St. Ignatius of Loyola Parish here in the city. And St. Ignatius of Loyola Parish, after COVID, you know, just a step back, you know, almost every parish priest I talk to, they say, we're still 20% short of our pre-COVID mass attendance numbers. So since, you know, things have opened up after COVID, we're still missing 20% of our normal attendance that we had before COVID. I hear that everywhere. Okay, so this parish, this Jesuit parish, you know, well, sometimes we can learn from the Jesuits, okay? This Jesuit parish, they noted that problem. And so, you know, a month or two ago, they got lay volunteers And they had lay volunteers make phone calls to people in the parish who weren't coming back to Mass, encouraging them to come back. And guess what? They're back to their numbers that they were before COVID. They're not experiencing the 20% drop anymore. They're back to what they were before COVID. So we can think, oh, what difference could a phone call make? This kind of thing. Well, it can make a difference. You know, we can tend to think people are like indifferent out there, but I think there are a lot of people out there who are kind of on the fence with respect to call Catholicism. And so to receive a call from someone with a personal touch, some TLC, where you get to share your love for the Lord and the Eucharist, it can do a lot. And if we do a venture like this in a parish, and let's say we only get like 12 people who come back, I still consider that a success. But it could be even more. And I'm not just interested in getting back, you know, the pre-COVID, getting back to pre-COVID numbers. I want more, like the Lord wants more. It could be part of drawing back the fallen away Catholic to Mass and reaching out from there to more. So let's think of this as part of the grace of this Eucharistic revival and something that we can do as lay Dominicans with our doctoral training and our wanting to bear witness and our call to do that. We'll work out some of the details, but yeah, those are the two initial ideas I had. So again, it's a joy to be with you all, and I consider it an honor and privilege to work with you all, and I'm excited to see what the Lord has planned for us. Okay, any questions anyone has? Yeah, Virginia. Yeah.
There's a question from Jacob. He wants to know if Father Ignatius has any ideas about getting young people involved. And he is happy to help with this.
You mean within the lay fraternities?
Jacob, if you're on.
Yeah, within the lay fraternities. I know we have Providence College where we're at, where we have all these young people. We have some great young professors, but we don't have a lot of engagement with them as lay Dominican members.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, so Jacob, you're yourself being a younger member of the lay Dominicans, I think this is one way to do it is, get the younger lay Dominicans more involved in that outreach and in planning on and helping the fraternity as a whole to see, here's what we need to do to draw younger people. The younger people in your fraternities, listen closely to them, open up ears to ideas they might have and to be open. And then, you know, sometimes it might be things we haven't done before. You know, when you get old like myself, old and crusty, kind of get stuck in my ways. And so, I'm kidding. but to be open to kind of, new ideas that young people can bring to groups like this. And incorporate some of those and take chances sometimes like those. And I know Kathy has helped a lot, or she's kind of helped you all with the idea of having, you know, come and see a regular basis, at least once a year, a couple times a year. And I know she's made some materials available to help you as a chapter to do that. So that's always important too, is to cast the net out there and give the invitation, have, you know, special times where people can come and check out the lay fraternities.
We're working on that. And that will help with the young people too. Those that have been successful in our province to have a come and see or a meet and greet or check us out or whatever you want to call it, we'll give you a couple of scripts and a list of materials that you might need. So, you know, some folks might feel uncomfortable. I don't know where to start, or I don't know what to say, or when do I do this? And we have some bulletin announcements, those brochures. So that's coming. It all fits in, like you said, Father, providentially, everything's fitting together like a puzzle.
Which is because
we're getting older and we need to get more people in. And we need to get the younger people in. At this point, a lot of people are younger than most of us.
And I do think, too, the more that we collaborate as friars and laity, the more that people see us working together and that attracts people. So just another, you know, I mentioned the Dominican House of Prayer that I'm collaborating with another friar and some lay Dominicans. You know, we're doing a parish retreat in Ave Maria, Florida at the end of July, July 29th through the 31st. Not too late to sign up if you want to jump on a plane and come down to Florida, the scorching heat, end of July. But we have maybe, I think, 75 or so already signed up. We're expecting some more last minute ones. And so collaborating like that together, I think kind of gets us out there together, and it can be attractive, and it can attract younger people to be like, yeah, I want to kind of share in this mission. And so, yeah, to just find ways that, yeah, so maybe just an idea out there. I would love if your own lay fraternities, if you would feel up to like leading a retreat for people in your parish, then I could come in and help out with that. And it could be another collaborative effort. You know, we think a lot about having retreats for ourselves, and that, you know, that's very important. I'm going to make that a priority and try to preach a few of those retreats a year as well for you all. So that is a big priority for us, to have retreats for ourselves. But then to think sometimes, yes, one way we can reach out to others is putting on a dynamite retreat for them and being part of, you know, giving talks, being part of that, and, you know, an active collaborator in that. And if we do more and more things like that, I think that draws young people, because they see kind of the effectiveness, the fruitfulness. They see us as being on the front lines of the proclamation of the gospel.
And that's, well, you'll help us with that, right? You're going to help us.
I want to try.
That's great. Carol's got a question, yeah. But I want to mention something since you touched on it about the friars and the laity. Would that be okay?
Please do.
Yes. One of the things we all need, right, is our religious assistants. There's, you know, many of us, many have them, few have them, and more need them. So what I've received direction from Father Darren Pierre, who's our new prior provincial, is if you look at the PD, our promoter has the ability to appoint RAs. And Father Darren has given Father Ignatius and myself the go-ahead to start appointing people. And it's going to take a while. We can't expect Father Ignatius to do this, you know, in the first couple of months. But I've asked all the region presidents to kind of make a list of the top needs in your region, so that we can, you know, you're going to have to approve the person, or the friar, or the sister. But we're going to work on that. That's going to take a while, but we're going to work on that. Everybody happy about that?
Yes.
All right, great. Carol, did you have a question? Carol Treventi?
Well, it's probably a couple of comments. I agree with the father that these are great, great ideas. And I think that a lot of times we don't invite enough people, and we have to give a reason to invite. The other thing I was going to ask, and I don't know why there'd be any restrictions, but maybe there is just due to numbers on YouTube, is, you know, we could also invite our friends perhaps to even listen in on some of his teachings. Like, say, Catherine, what a great subject matter. And there's so much there. And then people can get the teaching, and if they want to ask questions, it's another way to invite, by giving a little taste of the Dominican to a friend, and say, oh, why don't you come and see that too? And that's that way, you know, it's not a heavy obligation. You don't have to go to a lot of meetings or anything. You show up for the YouTube and then experience what it's like. So that could be another teaching moment or inviting moment to have people join us as well. The other thing is, I agree. I think the other thing to add to the group, and maybe this is a kind of a quantum leap, and maybe you have to start with one list and then kind of grow from there, is like our CCD parents. We never see those people. So, you know, maybe they would be on that list too, of people that are away from the church or haven't shown up or whatever. But I think the other thing is being able to come together as groups too, and maybe share best practices. Just like you're saying, if you have a script or you have results that you've gotten before, how did I get results? When you start sharing those skill sets, it really helps each other. So I don't have to sit here in a vacuum by myself dreaming up, oh, what do I do? What do I do? Kind of thing. Or how do I reach out to these people? So you're looking for some common element or whatever. Sometimes people don't even answer their phones today. So you have a lot of challenges there, but you're right. Being able to, one thing in a Catholic church, which we probably don't do enough of, is really to team together, you know, work as a team to make something come to fruition rather than, you know, or we work as groups too. We can always go out, like you're saying, there was a couple. So maybe you go out in twos, like Christ sent the people out in twos. But, you know, it gives people more, they end up having more, you know, they're easier to go out and have courage when there's two of you versus one, you know, sometimes two. So those are other just kind of thoughts that I had in terms of, you know, how do you really, you know, you're really marketing, you know, the Dominican order and God to the people. So and I love your ideas. They're great. I look forward to them. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for building on them.
I have a couple questions in chat. For some reason, they're coming directly to me, and I don't know how to change it for everybody. But anyway, this is from OnView. Does Father have a schedule for discussion on the dialogue of Catherine of Siena?
Well, I say at this point, we'll start in September, and then I'll come with details about what day of the month is going to be and time. But we'll start in September, in part just because the rest of my summer is already crazy enough.
Right.
And that gives me some time to just come up with the best day.
There was another question from Scott Lowry. It's appearing that America is looking for more like pagan Rome by the day. As a late Dominican, what could be done? Recruiting new people would have to break part barriers such as atheism, lukewarmness, idol worship, witchcraft, and worship.
Virginia, you're breaking up. We can't hear you.
Okay, satanic practices and many other occult practices. So he wants to know what can be done about it, I guess. This is from Lowry.
Hello?
Yeah, if you want to clarify that.
Yeah, I think I've got it. It's, I think the most powerful thing is personal witness. You're bearing witness to a life within you, the Lord Jesus. And there's something about the warmth of that, the incarnate kind of, so to speak, in quotations, quality of that. And then once someone's drawn in and they see, okay, there's something different about this person. There's a joy here I don't see in everyone. There's a peace, you know, just kind of this person, X, Y, or Z happened, but somehow this person's still in peace. You know, how is that happening? You know, the seeker ask. So kind of personal witness, I think, really draws people in. And then once kind of they're drawn in, then, you know, our theological formation as Dominicans really helps them to start addressing their issues, you know, atheism, and just some of the other things that you named. But it does take, I think, us being more bold in starting conversations with people and not being so shy about our faith. You know, I love to I'm taking late night walks now through New York City. You know, I'm in the habit, and I wear a crucifix just so people, because it can be hard for people to read the sign, to interpret the sign value of the habit. And so I help them out interpreting it with the crucifix. And if I'm in a dangerous part, it helps. Yeah, anyways, it helps. To be bold, and I am getting, you know, at the point I'm doing a prayer walk. Part of it's just a prayer walk, but people are beginning to say like, oh, hello, Father. How are you, Father? People are beginning to stop me and we're talking. Someone stopped me the other night. They're like, are you a healer? Are you a healer? You know, my wife here needs healing. And I said, well, the Lord's the healer, but I'm happy to pray for your wife. So yeah, so right there on the street corner, you know, I laid my hand on her and I pray for, you know, whatever healing the Lord wants to bring her and that the Lord really bless her life. And so it's just like being out there with people and being bold in our witness, you know, having a rosary in your hand, rosary around your neck even maybe.
Follow.
Not being shy and sharing the new life we have in Jesus Christ.
Why you being more bold in that.
Alice, could you mute yourself, please? I'm sorry, Father.
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay, now I have another question. This is from Jennifer Gonzalez. This is a little off topic, but speaking of young lady, how old does a young man need to be to enter the novitiate if they're discerning priesthood in the Dominican order?
Right. So basically 22 years old. I mean, we require that someone has an undergraduate degree before they join. So then that would mean, yeah, you know, probably about 22 is about the youngest, right out of college. And you know, if they feel called before then, that, you know, they feel called before then to the Dominicans, well then just, you know, go to Providence College for 4 years. And then,
I don't think a pingo de common sense.
Or go to
wherever they're going.
Whoever is leading the meeting should be able to mute her.
I'm muting her
Virginia.
Now.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I took care of it.
So David Dudzik has a question. His hand is up. David, would you like to unmute yourself?
Okay, I'm unmuted, right?
Yeah, ask your question. Hello?
Okay. Well, it's not really a question. It's more of the what I call the five-gallon bucket principle. Part of the reason that a lot of people are turning to other things such as paganism, witchcraft, astrology, is that they don't have exposure to our teachings in Catholic Church and stuff like that. And the reason I call it the 5 gallon bucket principle is if you take a 5 gallon bucket that is empty and you place it in a hallway in a public building, everybody will put junk in it. And if we as Dominicans go out and start, you know, talking to people and exposing them to Catholicism and Christianity and our principles, they'll start to see that we have a lot to offer. So that's all I really wanted to say, was that we just have to start getting out there and talking, and it's just talking to people. That's all.
Right.
Thanks, David. Chaz, you have a question?
Chaz does, yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I just wanted to say, Kathy, thank you so much for having this, because I felt compelled to speak. I haven't met Father Ignatius personally, so Father, I look so much forward to meeting you personally, but I don't know if anybody else in Eastern Province has watched this Dominican House of Prayer on YouTube, but I've been blessed over the last 6 months because I spend time near Ave Maria to meet the new group down there. Ina and Dr. Tom Carr run it, and they're wonderful Dominicans like all of you are. So I was introduced indirectly to Father Ignatius, and I've been watching some of this. And Father, we love all our Dominican priests, but this is like answered prayer. What you said, I would be glad, and I know we're just starting here, but the outreach part, in my parish some years ago, we would go door to door knocking, and I was part of that team. I mean, I come from a sales business background, and I've been, I'm not afraid to push, and I've probably been called too pushy by many, but this is something I totally just love hearing your ideas, Father. I thank you. I don't want to talk too much, but I just wanted to say this is awesome, and I'll be glad to help and assist any way I can, reaching out to people like this. This is great, great, great. Thank you. God bless.
Thanks, Chaz.
Thank you.
Jennifer, do you have a question? Yeah. Jennifer Gonzalez, your hand is up. Well, we can't hear you, but you don't look like you're on mute. Maybe you can put your question, Jennifer, in chat. Virginia will read it.
Yeah.
Try talking again, Jennifer.
Where is she?
She's in the screen one. She's right next to me.
Okay, she's okay. Let me unmute her.
Go ahead, Jennifer.
You're unmuted.
Are you close to your mic? We can't hear you.
Jennifer, you might want to put your question in chat. Virginia will ask it. And there's a that's a good plug for chat. If you would like to ask Father a question, and you know what, I think we've maxed out our participants, so we're going to have to do this again. Shucks, that would be a good idea. So we'll let you all know. I think we're going to have to increase the number of people on our Zoom contract that we can allow in a meeting. So that's a good thing as well. But you know, I don't want any of you to be scared by saying, oh, geez, they're going to make me go door to door. No, we're going to give you the tools and the Holy Spirit does the work. You just have to be there. You know, when the Holy Spirit, when you're doing the Holy Spirit's work, right, Father?
Yeah,
you don't have to. He gives you the courage we got from when we were baptized and when we were confirmed. So, you know, there's things that will help you do that are coming that will work out together with Father. And we're just so blessed, Father, that you said yes.
Happy
to. You know, when we were able to, it says in our PD that we have to give the provincial chapter some names of who we would like. We trusted that the Holy Spirit would give us the right person, and he did. And we're so grateful. We're glad you're feeling better. Father is going to be able to come to all of your regional meetings, so there's another place to a chance to meet him and see him in person. And Father, why don't you tell him your thought about staying after or coming before?
Oh, right, exactly. So my thought is, if I'm going to travel someplace, I might as well make the trip worth the while. And so I would be willing to stay an extra day, come a day early, and like give some conferences while I'm in town. I might know there might be a portion of the day that you have for your regional meeting, but I can stay another day and we can do something more along the lines of spiritual formation or conferences, a little retreat day. And so, you know, I leave it up to each region to decide if that's going to work, if it's a good fit. But it's just an offer that I throw out there. While I'm in town, I can do some of these other things. I can stay a little longer to do the things I mentioned, give conferences, confessions, other things, or anything else that might, you might, creative ideas you might have, that I could stay an extra day and do something with you all or do something for you all. And so, yeah, just my principle is, if I'm going to travel someplace, might as well make it worth the while and do you know, some other things there as well while I'm with you all.
So if anybody is interested, why don't we have you let your regional president know, and then we'll work it out with Father. Does that work for everybody?
Basically, I mean, part of the idea, part of my thinking is, you know, this past year, I've been doing a lot of traveling around preaching in monasteries and to religious communities. And so it's like, okay, keep something like that going, but for the laity. And so this is one way to do that, to piggyback on the scheduled meetings already and just expanding it some. I can't bi-locate, so I am going to have to choose to cut something out of my schedule. And I'm trying to figure out what that's going to be and look like. But I'm thinking of more of just a transition. I'm just changing my audience of what I'm already doing.
Okay, there's other questions here. I tried to copy all these messages, Father. And so do you have any messages that you got that I just sent over to you?
You're asking me? You mean my email or something?
No, this will be in the chat.
Oh.
The large chat. Somebody wants to know where you were born and raised.
All right, that's a good question.
Early years, like, and they made a mention of Catherine of Siena Midday Retreat by Father Ignatius Schweitzer, and they gave the YouTube thing on that.
Oh, nice.
Let me see what else.
Usually with the chats, I mean, can't you, there's normally an option to make it a private message, but you can also make it present to all. Maybe that is that option on?
I thought I had it on, but for some reason it's always on.
Yeah.
I can't, the only one I can chat is Virginia.
Yeah. Okay, well, just to answer that question, so I grew up in Ohio, Anna, Ohio, 2 hours north of Cincinnati, 2 hours south of Toledo on Interstate 75. Grew up there, went to Miami University for a couple years. I went to Miami kind of a fallen-away Catholic. And then while there, it was through an evangelical Protestant ministry that turned to the Lord and kind of made an adult faith decision for him, however you want to describe that. And then was anti-Catholic for about a year and a half, just kind of adopting my mentors among these evangelical Protestants, just kind of adopting their way of reading the scriptures. So anti-Catholic for about a year and a half, and then met a Catholic who could address the issues I thought I had with the church. And he was very learned and opened up the faith for me. And then that started a journey back. And so I was reconciled to the church through the sacrament of confession right before Lent of 2001. And that was my third year of college. And I had transferred to University of Dayton at that point. And then, you know, began to go to daily mass. There was an adoration chapel close to campus that was open 24/7. So started to pray a lot there. And then that's where I received my vocation to the priesthood, praying in the adoration chapel. And just seeing how, yeah, the Lord Jesus was enough for me and wanting to give my life and helping other people to grow closer to our Eucharistic Lord. And yeah, it's the great grace of celebrating mass as well. So a little of my vocation story there. Any other questions?
They want to know what your email contact is.
All right.
Can you put it in chat? It's eprovpromoter@gmail.com. And that's on the website. Everybody know where the website is? If you go on the welcome page, the link for tonight was on there. Father's bio's on there. His email. So eprov promoter, E-P-R-O-V, promoter, P-R-O-M-O-T-E-R @gmail.com. So you can start sending all of your things you have to send to the to our promoter, to Father Ignatius. You don't have to send them to Father Carlos anymore. In fact, Father Carlos is going to kind of stick around and be with us. He'll stay on some of our committees. We told him once he got involved with us, it's not easy to get away. No, I'm just kidding. But he started out, remember, as a lay Dominican. So we appreciate that. And anything we can do to strengthen our relationship with our friars is always good. And I think Father Ignatius is going to help us with that. My question to you, Father, is why did you choose the name Ignatius?
Oh, yeah, very, very good question. Let me just note something really quick, too, with my email address. I also have a website, uppergarden.org. You can check out. I have probably 150 essays on there about the spiritual life, the saints and things. So that's uppergarden.org. You can check that out as well. So good question about Ignatius. And people are a little surprised sometimes, and they say, really, you're named after Ignatius of Loyola? And I say, no, I'm named after Ignatius the Greater, Ignatius of Antioch. So that's who Ignatius of Loyola was named after, of course. But yeah, St. Ignatius of Antioch, his seven letters he wrote while he was on his way to being martyred in Rome are some of the earliest Christian writings we have outside of the New Testament. And so in my own journey from evangelical Protestantism to Catholicism, the Catholic faith, Catholic Church, one of the first things I read were the seven letters of Ignatius of Antioch. So that opened my eyes to how Catholic the early church was, you know, the Eucharist as the true body and blood of Christ, obey the bishop like you obey God. Some of those strong Catholic marks that come out so strongly in Ignatius. And then just his zeal and love for the Lord, willingness to die as a martyr, wanting to get to the Lord, it inspired me. And I do find his letters very rich. And so Ignatius of Antioch is my patron.
And my favorites. For 86 years, I have served my Lord.
Yeah, if you need a little oomph in your faith life, pick up those seven letters and it can kind of waken you, stir you up.
Anybody else have any questions?
Kathy?
Yes, Alice, hi.
Hi. Since the meeting was close to capacity, I kept trying and trying and, I was allowed in. So I just wanted to tell Father, my name is Alice. I'm the altar delegate for the fraternity here at Our Lady of Providence, St. Thomas Aquinas. So I just wanted to welcome you and to say that I ask Jesus through the intercession of Blessed Mother to grant you every spiritual and good health graces on this, your new apostolate as our provincial promoter.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, please. Yeah, that's a call for all of you. Please pray for me as well.
I also have one question.
I've been praying for you. I've offered mass for you all a number of times. This evening I celebrated mass and the intention was for the lay Dominicans. So I'll keep praying for you.
Please
pray for me.
Yeah. Father, I had one question. Uh-huh. You mentioned you gave many retreats and whatever at monasteries. I wondered if you were at the Mother of God West Springfield by any chance, and did you give them any retreats?
No, I've only visited there.
Okay, so I was a Cloister Dominican there for a couple of years in my youth. Wow. And I still am in touch with them, so I wondered if you had been there.
Wow. One of the Dominicans with us for the summer, Father Maximilian Yasowick, he visited them today. So he's a newly ordained priest. He'll go back when the academic year starts to finish his STL. But so he's here just for the summer. But I know he went to Massachusetts to visit the nuns there in West Springfield today. So
we were 48 women when I was there years ago. Now there's only a few left. Sad.
Wow. Yeah. How many? You said 48?
We were 48, yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, right now there's what, six or seven, maybe
that's many.
I think it's eight. That's,
the nun who entered with me is still there, Mary of the Sacred Heart. She's one of the few left.
Bishop Bill Byrne, he preached to us during our provincial chapter in June, and that's his diocese. And he said, yeah, bring some young women to that monastery. He said, any friar who travels and brings young women to the monastery, I'll meet you there. He's very dedicated in trying to keep that monastery open and alive and draw vocations, the bishop of the diocese. So hopefully that helps.
Because they can't recruit, right? And they can't ask for donations. That's what I understand, because West Springfield isn't that far from me. And I love going up there. It's such a beautiful, monastery and chapel up on the hill.
If I'd live closer, I'd be there more often myself.
I hear you, Alice. I'm right with you.
My husband and I went for our 40th wedding anniversary. We go every now and then, and it was nice. You know, we had, we were there with the nuns for a while.
That is one of the beautiful things as a Dominican family, that we do kind of have places to pray that are kind of at home, are kind of home for us. And anyway, so the Corpus Christi Monastery of Dominican Nuns in the Bronx, I spend my Fridays there. So, you know, every priest gets like a day off each week. So my day off, I turn it to a retreat day, a desert day, and I spend it, yeah, with the nuns there. And they have adoration through exposition of the Blessed Sacrament throughout the day. So it is beautiful, you know, part of the Dominican family. Just, you know, I go there the first time, they're already giving me keys. and it's like, okay, I'm welcome. You know, I just met them, but that's, yeah, it's part of the Dominican family. So yeah, so if you're close to these monasteries, to, you know, spend an afternoon there in prayer, things like that. Spend a morning there, spend a day there. And it's really helpful for our life together, our life with God.
Their prayer power helps the world.
What's that? I'm sorry, Alice?
Their prayer power helps the world.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yep.
Speaking of prayer power, there's a plug for our prayer members. Right. If everybody exactly. saw the information about that, for those that are excused, they're infirm, they're older, they can't come to meetings anymore. Instead of just being excused, I mean, what did St. Dominic do with the nuns in Peru? You know, they were the prayer power. So your region president, your fraternity presidents can reach out to you. Look on the website. It talks about prayer members. Those people, we're all prayer members actually, but those who are excused can be designated to pray for the needs. And there's a list of things we pray for. The intentions that come in through the website, our promoter, vocations, lots of different things. We need that prayer power. Alice, that's a good point.
That crossed my mind too, as we were speaking about the Eucharistic outreach, trying to help people appreciate what they're missing out on with not coming to Sunday Mass. I mean, you know, if there were people in a fraternity who are just like, I think people need challenge, they need encourage. But even if there are just some people like, well, then they can be prayer support. They can be praying while, you know, phone calls are being made or people are going door to door or however you choose to. Whatever that looks like, yeah, people, you know, we do need all that faith and prayer, and there can be prayer warriors praying while these things are happening. So that's another dimension of that work, prayer, yeah.
Does anybody else have any questions?
The Legion of Mary. We were, and I was in Legion for years, and that's what we'd always do. We'd pray together first in a car. And then we would knock on the doors. We did the house to house. And when one would talk, the other one would pray.
Nice, right.
That's good. That is good.
Hi, Malcolm, you have a question?
No. But I have to say, Father Ignatius, I'm very enthusiastic and excited about you being with us. I really am. I'm looking forward to meeting you on August 27th at our regional meeting.
Yeah, sounds good.
It'll be good. That's right.
Well, Father, it's 9:27. We can continue talking and asking questions, or
why don't we? I haven't eaten supper yet, so maybe I should.
Okay, we told Father last night that we can eat and meet. It's okay to have. We need to nourish ourselves, right? So we need to let Father eat, I guess. So everybody, want to do this again?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, maybe we can not only just once a month with Catherine of Siena, but we'll figure out something. Because now that we have Father, we want to certainly make him more available to everybody. You know, he's here to help us. He's here to give us a retreat. He's here to do a retreat for your region. So this is a good thing, a very good thing. So I know you'll all pray for him to get better from COVID. And stay away from the monkey flu in New York, Father.
Yeah.
Too much stuff going out over there. So we're praying for all of you every day. Your provincial council officers pray for you all the time. If there's something we can do to help you, you've got my email, you've got my phone number. We're here to serve. So more will come about how we can take the preaching, the laity preaching, out a little bit more, how maybe we can do some outreaches in parishes, how we can get more members. We have some fraternities, and I have to put a shout out to Ray Prue, who's on this call tonight. He's the regional president of Region 2, and it happens to be his birthday. Ray's got a couple of fraternities in the downstate New York, northern New Jersey area that have three people in them. That's good. So
gotta grow that.
Yeah. We need to grow. And I want to thank all of you for your commitment to your vocation, because this is a vocation, and anything we can do to help you, any ideas you have, I want to hear them.
Yeah, sure.
It's good to see Marianne Jablonski, who's a former provincial president.
It was great seeing everybody else too. It's like, oh my God, they look so good. What happened to me?
Marianne, we love you. We thank you for all you did for us.
Oh, it was my honor. It was my honor, truly. But, you know, I was going to raise my hand and forgive me for saying this. Father, first of all, welcome. God bless you. You'll be in my prayers every day. I'm sure everybody else will be praying for you every day, too. I am really, really psyched. Please come down to Charlottesville, and you can make it a two-day trip by even going down to Salem, hint, hint. So we're way down south in Virginia. But I have to scoot. So may I ask you for a blessing, please?
Sure. If I can pray a concluding prayer and a final blessing for everyone. Yeah. Okay. Loving God, we thank you for calling us, the Dominican family. Thank you for all the Dominican saints. Help us to remain close to them, become more and more like them, through your grace, through your inspiration, through your work of love in our lives. Continue to help our work together and our life together. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you kindly and give you peace. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Okay.
Thank you. Welcome, Father.
Thank
welcome,
you. Father. Thank you. Till next time. Get something.
Thanks, everyone. Good to see you.
Bye. Take care. Hello. Hello.
Thanks for your great questions.
Thank you, Father.
Good to see you all.
Good to see you.
Yes.
Thank you.
I couldn't Zoom shuffle off.
God bless.
God bless.
Good night.
Good night. Good
night.
So Father, if you have a moment, I do have a completely non-serious question for you.
Okay.
No more questions, Brian.
Well, no. I first actually connected with Father Carlos over his shared likes in soccer. So I was curious whether what Father Ignatius' taste in soccer was, if any.
Oh, okay. Well, I grew up Dominican, a basketball fan. You know,
Dominicans seem to like soccer.
I grew up a basketball fan. I haven't gotten on the soccer kick. Part of the fun.
To be fair, I'm a multi-sport guy myself, but. Yeah, Father Carlos was always one of the guys who, of course, you know, the classic. Dominican choice of Newcastle as the Premier League team. So I kind of helped send me toward that being the team I'd watch over there when I'd talk to the Friars. So I always like to ask any Friar I see.
Yeah, I grew up back in my day, we didn't even have soccer teams in my school. Oh, yeah. So I never kind of caught the fire for that. So I always ran cross country.
I'll totally admit I've been checking the Philadelphia Union score while
that's allowable.
I think Father likes the Providence College Friars. What do you think?
Yeah, there you go. Is that Father Joe Kemp's mother?
It is.
Yes.
He's moving to Cincinnati today. I'm hoping to get him down here this weekend. I live in the
Closer to mom and dad. That's awesome. Good for you.
I'm really happy.
Yeah, that'd be a great assignment.
We'll see what happens. Yeah. I used to watch you on live stream masses too. I'd be turning it on to see Father Joachim, but sometimes you'd be there. So
yeah.
Enjoyed it all the time watching you too.
So I was with Father Joachim at St. Mary's for everyone else.
Yeah, up in New Haven. He's being transferred to Cincinnati today. He was leaving today.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah, he and the Father John Paul team, the duo.
I know. Stay at They're it, stuck together.
Yeah.
You can't take them apart.
I suspect the provincial asked Father John Paul who he would like as an assistant. So he said Father John Paul.
Yeah, he went through his Gethsemane, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, a lot of Kennys are heading up there for the Hillbilly Thomas concert into July.
Nice.
Fun.
So, Father, do you be? Know the Hillbilly Thomas? Can you hook us up?
Me? What are you asking?
I said, do you know the Hillbilly Thomas? Can you hook us up?
I know that, but I myself am
maybe Debbie can.
They're on tour all summer, different places. They're in Cincinnati. It's sold out, though. But they're going to Chicago and Nashville, and I don't know where else.
They'll be in New York City, I think, next weekend. Sometime in the next couple of weeks.
They just came out with a new CD album or whatever last week.
Yeah, that's great.
Look that up. A lot of fun.
Can schedule them for the Masters visit next year, right?
How's it?
You guys have a good night.
Oh, yeah, good night.
Bye, Brian.
Good night.
Good night, Brian.
Hi, Lila. I didn't get to say hi to you.
Hi.
Oh, I know Lila.
Hi, Father. So good to see you.
Yeah. I was a deacon at her parish, St. Mary's in Landover Hills, however many years ago.
Yes, so, yes. And I was the recipient of one of your first blessings as well.
Oh, so. Wow. Yeah.
Yes. When
recipient of some of your... playing and leading worship at Mass.
Yes, you were. Yes, good. You were. Yeah. So I've now moved up to Baltimore. I'm in the Baltimore Archdiocese now.
Oh, wow.
And our fraternity is out of St. Philip and James in Baltimore. Right. When I saw your name come through, I was like, I know him. So wonderful to see your smiling face. And I'm looking forward to collaborating.
Yeah.
Yes.
How long have you been a lay Dominican?
About 8 years now.
Okay.
Yeah. Father, you need to go get dinner.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm glad to have been able to say hi.
Okay.
Have a wonderful evening.
Yeah, thank you. You too. Okay, should I jump off?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was going to ask Kathy, do you want a copy of the recording, Father?
That's fine. I think I need to depart.
Okay.
Is that good, Kathy?
We'll put it on the website and so people can share it and we'll do it again.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Therese, it's you.
All right. Goodbye.
Thank you, Father.
Good night.
Bye, Debbie.
Good night, Father.
Bye, Father.